Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
In Overnight America, another hour with you tonight. And if you wanted to call in, I know it's after midnight Central Time. It's even later if you're over on the East Coast, but this signal reaches all across the United States. I think 30-some states. The night that we aired the Stanley Cup victory for the St. Louis Blues, what a night that was. We had a wonderful post-game show with all the interviews and the ecstatic sportscasters, and you got to hear from everyone. And then afterwards, when it started, we did an hour with Mike Claiborne, and we had people call in with their emotions, and I got to tell you, it was difficult to hold back a tear. There's so many Blues fans that were just waiting for that moment their entire life. We went up until 5 a.m. taking phone calls nonstop, and I got to believe we had someone representing all 50 states, plus I think we even had some from other countries. And I got to say, that was just the power of the signal. So I know if you're out there and you're listening tonight and you're just sitting back relaxing or whatever it is, you're welcome to do that. Or if you feel like picking up the phone, you can do that too at 314-436-7900. And someone called in and asked the producer, Nathan, a question about the Mr. Robert Hyland radio special. And a lot of people, oh man, the reaction to that, oh, it's so great. It gives me the motivation to hurry up and make my second special. Even though it takes a lot of time to make these, I want to. I set a deadline, a goal for myself that I want to be able to have this next one produced before the 4th of July. So I have the month of June to make it. Well, the end of May here and the month of June. And I'm hoping that we're going to debut the Jim White special on this program. And today, during Memorial Day, well, I guess now technically yesterday, during Charlie Brennan's show from 9 to 11, the special aired. So there was a whole different audience that had the opportunity to hear it. I think that they enjoyed it. And there's people that are calling in to Nathan and asking, where can I listen to that again? Well, we aired it three times now. We aired it we debuting it on Wednesday night. And then we replayed it Wednesday night from midnight until 2 a.m. after my conversation with the one and only Bob Costas. And then it was aired again Memorial Day during Charlie Brennan's show. Now, the big question is, when is it going to be online? So this is what I'm going to tell you. If you really want to hear it, you can use the radio.com app, or you can go to KMOX.com and listen live and actually rewind up to 24 hours of KMOX. So you can go back in to 9 a.m. and listen to it from the start. And I have no problem if you fast forward through the commercials. That's fine. Just listen to the special. I think you'll enjoy it. But once that 24-hour time window passes, it's gone. It's over. So the big question is, when can you listen to it on a podcast form? And I don't exactly know when that's going to be posted. I talked to our digital team, and they think it's better for us, if we're going to make this into a series, to post more than one to start it off. So the big question is, how fast can I make the second one so both of them could be posted together? And I'm hoping that we get that done by the 4th of July, so basically a month from now. But either way, I know that there is overwhelming love for this radio documentary, so that gives me the motivation to make the second one sooner than later. And if you had a chance to listen to it, I really hope you did. What I'm going to have to do, we're going to have to replay it at some point on the show, and we know there'll be opportunities sometime in the future to do that, but I'm also going to have to replay that interview with Bob Costas. It was just so good, and the memories from KMOX back in the day, and Jack Carney memories, and Joe Buck, Jack Buck too, all these different people that were brought up, and just the idea that there's so much rich history in KMOX. I just loved it. I sat back, I relaxed, and I got worked up because by the time that night was over, last Wednesday night, I was so worked up I couldn't sleep. It took me hours to fall asleep. I couldn't stop thinking about it. 314-436-7900. That's the number you can reach us. And I wanted to do this real quick, and I saw that over the weekend. There was, well, actually, this was Thursday on PBS, and PBS aired a political view. It was a liberal commentator normally seen on MSNBC. It's by the name, I'm sure I'm going to get this name wrong, Anand Giridharadas, and was there to promote universal health care and whatnot. But this is one of the points that they made about in trying to justify the universal health care is that when we are talking about freedom, now keep in mind, this was going into Memorial Day weekend. This was going into the weekend that we commemorate and show reverence and show thanks for those that served this country in the military and lost their life doing so. This is the weekend where we talk about the cost of freedom, and this is what PBS was airing. Take a listen. Oh, I got to plug this in again. I'm sorry. I keep unplugging this thing.
Many Americans have a childlike understanding of freedom, as you say. And what that consists of is an understanding of freedom, which in many ways goes back to our founding, of freedom obsession, I would say, these Americans have, in which freedom is defined as the absence of government. Now, or government doing as little as possible, or government leaving you alone. Now, I would be the first to say that is an element of freedom. There's a whole bunch of things, right, that I don't want the government intervening in my life. And I share that. I think everyone listening to this would share that. But for a great number of Americans with this infantile understanding of freedom, that is it. That is freedom. Freedom is being left alone by government. And it's being paranoid about government being way more interested in you than you are actually interesting, right? Government's coming for your guns. Government's coming to, you know, regulate your food away. Government's coming to, you know, tell you who you can meet. Government's coming to manipulate you through, you know, its allies in the fake news. I mean, this kind of paranoid attitude, government coming to get you. And the point we made on the segment was what this has done is obscure the way in which a large aspect of human freedom is actually not threatened by government, but by private actors, right? A bank screwing you over, speculating in ways that lead to you losing your home, is also a threat to your freedom. It doesn't mean government's not a threat to your freedom, but the threat can also come from over there, right? A company dumping toxic chemicals into the creek where your kids play, right, is also threatening your freedom and their freedom, but it's not government. And what we have often failed to understand as a culture, and certainly these millions of Americans who feel this way, is that when the threats actually come from private actors, your best bet against those kinds of threats are the government. If you are hungry because you're paid $7 an hour instead of 15, the government is your best bet to make sure you get paid 15. There's not another easy way to make that happen. And so this childlike freedom obsession that tens of millions of Americans unfortunately have is literally killing us in this pandemic.
The childlike view of freedom. I want to say that maybe PBS did not realize or have the understanding that airing this leading into a Memorial Day weekend, where there are people that stood up for this country and paid the ultimate price for freedoms, I'm really hoping they didn't intentionally come out there and say, your freedom is childlike in a time that leads into Memorial Day. I really hope that wasn't intentional. It very well could be. I hope it's not. But let's debate and let's look through some of the different points that were made here. And I want to counter a little bit of this coming up in the next break. If you want to, you can call in 314-436-7900. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
KMOX is St. Louis's news, talk, sports, radio.
Welcome back to Overnight America. We're going to spend a couple of minutes here, and I wanted to mention a few of the things that were brought up on this PBS segment in all of their different argument points to try to lead to say that we need universal health care, and this is why, because if you don't, you don't like freedom or whatever. So that's the route they led down, and I just, again, want to point out that I would be extremely disappointed if PBS purposely decided to try to make this a segment leading into Memorial Day weekend when there are those that gave the ultimate sacrifice for freedom, and to go out there and say, actually, your right-leaning definition of freedom is childlike. So please, they better not have tried to shove that in there purposely. I wanted to say a few things, and I think it's important to read the start of the Constitution. And let's read the very beginning, where it starts, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves." And I want to just underline that, blessings of liberty, and how beautifully that's written. And just the wording and how intentional blessings is to blessings of liberty. Because the idea of this country, in founding so, the idea is that rights were given to us by God. And for many people, including that arguing on PBS, is that no, your rights are not given by God. Your rights are something that the government can hold in the palm of its hand and grab it away from you as it sees fit. You have no defense against the government. And I just want to say, trying to say that it's a right-leaning definition, that freedom is something that is looked at as not to be infringed on, not to be tread on, is very insulting, because they know what they're going in. And this is very reminiscent of President Obama when he came out and said, "You didn't build that." Remember the whole phrase where he gave the speech and he said, "You didn't build that," talking about small business, family business, and any business owner. Hey, you didn't build that. Completely demeaning all of the work that went into it, as if the government itself is the reason why this business exists, not that the individual had any contribution, let alone all of the contribution to make that happen. As in, you cannot succeed in this country unless the government allows for you to do so. And it's a dangerous way to look at it, because there's a lot of different countries that do look at it that way. I wouldn't want to live in China. I wouldn't want to live in some of these communist countries, these socialist countries that are extremely restrictive in the way that they hold on to their people and look at their business, how they handle their business with each other. But I wouldn't say it's infantile to stand up and say blessings of liberty were given to you in the protections and the Constitution. And to say that if you were to look at the different sections in the Articles of the Constitution, and if you were to go and look at what is given to you, again, by God, not the government, and just how powerful and how protective it is and how wonderful the Constitution is, going into a Memorial Day weekend, I wouldn't call that infantile or a childlike understanding of freedom. I would say just the opposite. I would say, because the way that PBS and the way that this commentator on PBS tried to set up what freedom is, let's really look at it. Because freedom, they're saying, is something that the government allows for you to have. Thus, if you do not allow the government in to regulate, or you do not allow the government to do these certain things, basically, hey, you're going to be oppressed. But I think the bigger picture is that the oppression in a lot of ways has come from government in the past. You know, and they're saying that freedom is essentially slavery to the government. And using that in a term of you're in bondage to the government. You are connected into a way where only the government can allow you to do certain things. So thus, your idea of freedom, which is having the government allow you to be free, the key to that is allow you. So you are in bondage to the government. And that's a terrible way to look at it. In fact, that is a great way if your argument is that you have to have all these socialistic tools that come into a society, including universal health care and universal income and all of these other things that a lot of people try to argue for. But what they're really saying here is that your infantile understanding of it, you know, you're just not smart enough to understand that if you want true freedom, that you're going to have to allow the government to become more socialistic, or in this case, you have to allow the government to take full control of you, because ultimately they're advocating for not freedom, but the exact opposite of freedom in that case. And also that you're paranoid for some reason, that if you don't trust the government or you have your grievances or some issues with it, that really that's your total fault. That's really you having an issue with it. So I just want to say, PBS, I do think it's a cheap shot. I really don't want to believe that on the weekend where we commemorate those that gave the ultimate sacrifice for freedom and love of country, that they would go out there and try to demean those that love freedom and try to say it's infantile or childlike on a Memorial Day weekend to talk about freedom in any other way. So please spare me that. That was on PBS NewsHour last week. 314-436-7900. Let's go to Sue, who's calling in from Eureka. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hi, Ryan. Hi. Yeah, well, just on what you just said, hopefully we never, ever get to the point where our government controls us or enslaves us.
Well, that's the problem. They want us to turn over everything to allow the government to tell us how to live our lives in every aspect. Right. And that's a huge problem when it has a system that we've had here in the United States, and we have, you know, free enterprise, and we have the ability for people to do this. And, you know, let me put it this way. Remember that one song I played from James Brown? He was talking about, I was a shoeshine boy, and now I met the President of the United States. Where else in the world can that happen? And how would you like to turn the tables on the United States to make sure that could never happen? I mean, that's essentially what they're trying to advocate, and it's something that you should fight against.
Can I have another comment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I really called because I loved your Robert Hyland special.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
I listened to it twice from start to finish.
Yeah.
And I've been a lifelong, well, not a lifelong. My folks used to listen to, I'm 84, to KMRX a long time ago, or CBS a long time ago.
Sure.
And there was a period of time when I was younger, I went through some country and listened to a lot of music. But as I grew older, KMRX has been my staple. I have it on from the time I get up in the morning to the time when maybe something comes on at night that I want to watch on TV. Mm-hmm. But then I start listening again because I listen to you.
Oh, great.
I can remember certain things where I was when Bob Hardy reported on something.
Oh, wow.
I just... And it brought a tear to my eye when you played the last thing that Robert Hyland's speech when he accepted the last speech that you played.
Media Person of the Year.
In 1990.
Yeah. Right. Media Person of the Year. Looking forward to the 90s.
Yeah. And he actually, well, I think you even said it. He actually said the same. He just kind of knew what was coming. I mean, it's all come. Whatever he forecasted, it has come.
Yeah.
And KMRX has done a pretty good job of keeping ahead of that and not allowing that to happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's strayed a little bit sometimes. I don't like I don't like the fact that they allow some cursing now. Robert Hyland would never have allowed that.
Sure.
But that's, I think that's probably a minor thing, unless it gets really out of hand. I don't want them to give up their dignity.
Well, you know, Sue, I got to say, I'm going to compliment you for a moment. You said you're 84 years old?
Yep.
You do not sound 84. You sound much younger, much, much younger. I felt like, no way, she's 84. Sue, you got to tell me your secret. I don't know what it is.
I listen to Camo X. I don't know.
It keeps you young.
I don't know. It does, actually. I mean, yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed
the
special.
Thank you very much.
And if you've enjoyed that one, I'm really looking forward to putting the Jim White one.
Oh, I can't wait.
It just as much. Good. All right. Thank you for calling in, Sue. I appreciate
okay.
that.
Okay. Oh, and you're very talented, Ryan. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you, Sue. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Sue says she's 80. She claims she's 84. She sounds more like 54. It's something else. Coming up in just a moment, we had an interview a little bit earlier with our friend Rich Rubino. I want to replay that, and we talked a little bit about Joe Biden's gaffe. What does that mean for his campaign? Is that going to influence who he picks as his vice presidential candidate? We talked a little bit about President Trump threatening to move the Republican convention out of Charlotte. What a bad move that would be for that area. So we are going to talk about those things with Rich coming up next. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Joining us now, and we do this on Mondays, and we got only a little bit of time with them this time around, is our friend Rich Rubino, author of American Politics on the Rocks. Hey, thanks for coming on tonight, Rich.
Oh, you're welcome, Ryan. Glad to be here again.
You know, there's a lot of stuff to get to, so I want to get right into a few of the different things. And on Friday, there's a pretty big oopsie. Joe Biden went on to a radio show Friday morning and made national news based on what he mentioned about it. I don't remember the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And immediately people jumped on top of him, rightfully so. And I wanted to talk to you about some of the other gaffes that political candidates have made and what that meant for their campaign.
Yeah, I mean, this is certainly not going to be a life-changing event for the Joe Biden campaign. You know, he apologized for it and he'll move on. But certainly there have been some, and actually the biggest argument I would make about gaffes is do not be interviewed by Playboy magazine. That is where you make a lot of mistakes. And they actually will interview politicians. There are people that actually read it for the articles, believe it or not, as the old cliche goes. Like back in 1968, for example, they asked Hubert Humphrey about President Johnson's policy on Vietnam. And he said, essentially, nobody likes the no sane person supports a war in Vietnam, and neither does President Johnson. So obviously he misspoke there, but that was the next day's story. And, you know, another person, Jimmy Carter, back in 1976, remember, Carter at one point, literally in the summer of 1976, had a 34-point lead on Gerald Ford. And the biggest gaffe he made that year, perhaps with when he was being interviewed by Playboy magazine again, and he was talking about sins he had, and he said essentially that I've had lust in my heart, essentially, for other women. And this actually, you know, to a certain degree, to some were worried at the time because he was a self-avowed born-again Christian, and some were kind of incredulous toward that. To some, Andrew Young, for example, a U.N. ambassador who was a vociferous supporter of Jimmy Carter, said this might actually help him because it proves he's not as prudish as people make him out to be. But on the other hand, there was Nelson Rockefeller, who was Ford's vice president, and who at the time said, you know, I never thought I'd see the day when Christ's teaching were discussed in Playboy. And I'm a Baptist, ladies and gentlemen. So that's probably the biggest argument. Ed Koch, 1982, was running for governor of New York, and he went after the rural voters. He went after the whole idea of why would anybody want to live, you know, 20 miles? We have to go to Steers and Roebuck. Why would someone want to live there?
Yeah.
He said the whole thing's a joke. He lost that. So those are some of the examples, I think.
Wow. I cannot believe Jimmy Carter, we're talking about someone that teaches a Sunday school class, was given an interview to Playboy magazine.
Why would he do that?
I don't understand one bit.
Because he knows that most people that read Playboy are just reading it for the articles anyway, so he figured he'd get that constituency, I guess.
Yeah. You know, it also makes me wonder. Some people are now saying because of this Biden gaffe that it may influence who he picks for vice president, because there may be more pressure on him to consider someone who is African-American, because when they put out Amy Klobuchar was being vetted, that upset a lot. And I think after this interview, some people are wondering if Klobuchar is even being considered or if he may be swaying his pick somewhere else.
Yeah, well, Klobuchar, I mean, the biggest argument for her is she potentially helps the Midwest on the fact that she's from Minnesota. Minnesota, by the way, has not gone for a Republican since 1972 with Richard Nixon. It's had the longest streak for a Democrat to win the presidency to win the state of Minnesota. Part of that was with Walter Mondale in 1984. Was from Minnesota. He barely edged out Reagan. That was the only state he won. He also won the District of Columbia. But you're right. The fact that, you know, Minnesota is becoming more and more competitive, so there is some argument that potentially she could potentially give 2 or 3 points and maybe put him over the finish line in Minnesota. But certainly in the African American community, there are some qualms about her. It's actually, to the extent that there are African Americans that Joe Biden is considering, there's Kamala Harris. Also, Val Demings, a very interesting choice. She was just elected to Congress in 2016. She has law enforcement credentials, bona fides, as a former police chief, the first African American police chief in Orlando, Florida. She's certainly being looked upon, and she was an impeachment manager. Mayor Bottoms, the mayor of Atlanta, is certainly being looked at. Terry Sewell, the congresswoman from Alabama, is certainly being looked at. But I don't think this is going to be a reason that a lot of African-Americans would potentially jump ship. What it does do is it makes Joe Biden have to say, look, I don't take any constituency for granted, even if they are overwhelmingly for Democrats. It's interesting the way he talked about it. He was bragging in a sense about how well he did in the state of South Carolina, where he garnered over, you know, 2/3 of the African-American vote against Bernie Sanders, and talking about how he won every county. Then eventually he said, you know, you ain't black if you're voting for Donald Trump over me. So it just seems like he was kind of, you know, taking it for granted. He was braggadocious about what he had done. So I think it just has to be kind of a humbling moment. But I don't think that necessarily means he has to choose an African-American, because history will show that, you know, but Joe Biden right now, polls are showing him at about 85% with the African-American community right now. I don't think it's going to be too much of a harbinger to that.
Richard Bino joining us on Overnight America. And I wanted to ask you about conventions. I saw this headline right before we went on the air, but here's the headline. President Trump threatens to pull Republican convention out of North Carolina. And that has to do with if there's going to be any restrictions when it comes to crowds. You mentioned this, too, because you said it would be an interesting move if the governor of North Carolina, before the Republican convention, tries to pull something just to mess with the Republicans. So in a moment like this, have we ever seen last minute a convention move? Are there any instances you can think of where there's been a disruption like this?
No. And, you know, this could go two ways. So basically, Ray Cooper is a Democratic governor in North Carolina who's up for re-election himself. North Carolina is about as swing state as you can get right now. It could potentially go either way. I think last poll shows Biden ahead by about 1.5 percentage points. But, you know, it's in Charlotte. You know, if he does take it away, basically what he could do is he could issue a stay-at-home order, and then Trump would have to move the convention. The fact that deleterious effects on him as well, because think of all the revenue and just the fact that Charlotte, you know, it was a very big deal for Charlotte to get that convention. And just the fact that all the revenue, all the people that will be coming into this city, the fact that basically it'll be the epicenter of the political universe, that would all go away. And certainly, you know, not even from a partisan perspective, but just a Republican opponent can come on and can say, look at all the revenue you've essentially lost us. And Donald Trump is going to South Carolina is now having his convention in South Carolina, but could also hurt Donald Trump if Donald Trump says, you know, if Donald Trump before getting the stay-at-home order, if he says, you know what, we're, you know, something to the effect of, you know, this is, you know, this is really serious business. We can't keep chili shacking on this. We're going to go down to somewhere like South Carolina. That could potentially hurt him with some voters in North Carolina. They'll be saying, look at what all this revenue you could have potentially brought into the city of Charlotte, into the state of North Carolina. So it really can go two ways. My guess is that the governor of North Carolina will probably allow the convention. You know, could they potentially do it outside? I mean, Nancy Pelosi's talked about the Milwaukee convention, maybe doing it outside as opposed to doing it inside. But it's an absolutely fascinating phenomenon. We're really on unprecedented, uncharted territory here.
What was that term you used? Chili shacking?
Chili shacking, yes. I guess that's Rubinoism, I guess.
Maybe. I like it. It's pretty good.
I think I might have just added to the American lexicon there.
Yeah, but part of this, too, is with all the states asking for money because of the loss of revenue, because of COVID-19, could you imagine turning away the Republican convention and then putting your hand right back out and asking for more money to make up for the lost revenue? I mean, that would be a disaster for that governor.
Absolutely, especially considering he's up for re-election himself, and the Democrats are counting on him in part as the Democratic governor of a showdown state to bring that those 2 or 3 percentage points to North Carolina. So the last thing he wants is for his own political standing to be in jeopardy, I think, as well.
Yeah, and I think Joe Biden made one of his first public appearances in weeks today. It was for Memorial Day, and we saw him out. It's been a while. I mean, a lot of the video interviews, President Trump has been out, of course, in front of the media, press conferences here and there. Today he was out and talking, and gave a pretty very good speech, I thought, Memorial Day speech. And that's what you see presidents do on Memorial Day, sure. But it's weird because it's hard to think we're in an election year and the Democratic candidate hasn't been out of his house in 2 weeks, going to June.
It's absolutely bizarre, and part of it is what it it shows, and potentially this has positive and negative attributes for Joe Biden. On the one hand, it shows that Joe Biden is in many respects simply a standard bearer candidate. I guess you could say kind of a milquetoast Democrat, not somebody that necessarily galvanizes the constituency. You know, if Bernie Sanders were the nominee, for example, he would galvanize the left wing of the Democratic Party. The biggest argument for John Kerry in 2004, for Hillary Clinton in 2008. I mean, the same case for going back to Bob Dole, going back to John McCain, and kind of these kind of milquetoast candidates is that they're electable to the general election. And Joe Biden, I don't think he's necessarily gaining or losing, but partly because of what's going on with the pandemic and people's views toward Donald Trump, they're viewing it more or less a referendum on him as opposed to a referendum on Joe Biden. So you're right, Joe Biden, he is doing interviews, by the way. A lot of those interviews are with local affiliates. That's why you're not seeing them. In about the 17 swing states, he'll do interviews with those local affiliates. That's why the interview you saw with the Breakfast Club where he made the news, that was one of those local interviews that he's essentially doing. But you wonder how rusty he will be once he gets back on the campaign trail and does start actually, doing rallies, because, obviously it's something you really need to be in practice and doing. The other advantage Joe Biden does have is he does not have a day job. Imagine being a governor and a senator. Imagine being a governor of a state right now and also trying to run a presidential campaign at the same time during this pandemic. Lucky for Joe Biden, he has not had that, so he can spend, 100% of his time simply worrying about the presidential sweepstakes.
So your book is American Politics on the Rocks. Polita-geek.com is the website. And Rich Rubino, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I know it's a little shorter segment than usual, but it's always a great time when you come on, and I know people really do enjoy it. So thank you so much, Rich.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me on again.
And he joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line. One more segment of Overnight America coming up next on KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's funny how Facebook reminds you of certain things when you go online, and it reminded me of an interview I did 9 years ago with Brock Lesnar. I don't think I still have that saved. Unfortunately, I did some awesome interviews when I was working in Ohio. I don't know why the person that was booking all these interviews gave me any consideration, because that's a small city and not a lot of people are listening. So Brock Lesnar at the time was in the UFC. Guy was, I mean, he's a scary looking dude. And I remember asking him, if you don't know who Brock Lesnar is, you can do a quick search and see what he looks like. I said, you've never met me, you never will, but how confident are you that you can knock me out with a jab? And he said, I can do that. Of course he could. A jab. I mean, him not even trying. He could probably do it with one finger and knock me out. Look at a guy like that. That was pretty funny. Thank you, Facebook, for that memory. And all the other ones that, some that I wish to forget, but still, they're out there. I'm on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. You can follow me and like the page on there. We like to post fun things. Also links to parts of the show and sometimes just in general, just fun things, including last week when I was asking your help with trying to figure out who the next radio documentary is going to be. And we decided Jim White. So he's going to get the special treatment next time around. And anyone that enjoyed that Robert Hyland documentary and maybe listened to it for the first time today during the day, it aired during Charlie Brennan's show from 9 to 11. I really, really hope you enjoyed that. And I know that you're going to enjoy all the other ones I plan on putting together. So far, I plan on putting 10 together. 10. It's pretty remarkable. 10. I think it is, at least. So I'm going online. What am I seeing on here? Jeffrey Dahmer is trending. Oh, boy. Jimmy Fallon is over. I don't know what that's all about. You know, sometimes it's weird. You see these things that just so happen to trend and you have no idea. But you also have no will to actually check them out. So we're going to skip that. And let's go to KMOX.com. And there was a story from the NHL that came out today. NHL will only allow 6 players maximum in first return to practices as they try to be as safe as possible. And they say that they're in progress to put together a 24-team playoff format, and they want to get it approved by the NHLPA board. It's an interesting proposal, but they don't want to get all of the players out as fast as possible in that iteration. NBA is still trying to figure out what they're doing. Let's put that next to what the NFL put out in a statement. I saw this on Fox News. NFL plans to have full stadiums in September. In August, league officials say. Get the stadiums jammed in there. I think because they're outdoors, mostly outdoors, that they get a lot of, maybe a little bit of leeway because they feel it's going to be more difficult to spread the virus. But if you're sitting next to someone and you're yelling, screaming, breathing, that's kind of counter to everything else they tell you that you should be doing. So that's interesting. Maybe the virus will be closer to be out of the system by then. Maybe they have more confidence in that. But either way, it's interesting to see how the different leagues are approaching this. And you know, there's still hope that the XFL comes back. There's been some rumors that Vince McMahon may try to repurchase the thing. Wow, wouldn't that be something? So we'll have to maybe get Chris Rabe on and do another segment with him in the future to talk some more sports. Well, that about does it for us here on Overnight America. You can always join us on Facebook, like I mentioned, Ryan Recker Radio. It's a great place to connect and also comment. The replay hour coming up next, I think you'll enjoy that with our friend Tom Sullivan talking about spending in the city and the county and transparency. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll be back again tomorrow, and sleep well and enjoy the replay. Bye.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.